We go to Danny West. Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good.
Well, there are some official visitors on their way to the Hill.
Yeah, about 16 of them this week, Trey. Another busy weekend in Fayetteville. They actually got kicked off yesterday afternoon, early evening, when Frank Iheanacho from Houston, Texas, West Side, big, heavily recruited wide receiver down there. He actually arrived yesterday, so he will leave out tomorrow. We are currently awaiting the arrival of Sebastian Tratola, a junior college offensive lineman from Iowa Western Community College, as well as two more junior college guys, Cody Hollister and his teammate Blake Whiteley. All of those guys will be arriving later today. And then tomorrow you're going to have 12 more guys arriving. So another busy weekend. We'll see, you know, how many commitments they come up with. I do think they're probably going to get one for sure from Cody Hollister, a 6'4", 205 wide receiver, as I mentioned, from Arizona Western Community College. He recently picked up an Arkansas offer, and it's pretty clear that it's basically his best offer on the table right now. So I would expect him to take that at some point during his visit.
Danny, when players show up, you said some showed up Friday. Is that what you're saying, or Thursday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yep. Okay. Is there a time limit? That's the question. Is, you know, if a certain player shows up Wednesday or a certain player shows up Saturday, what is the hours that they're allowed to be on campus for that official visit?
You get 48 hours with them from the time you pick them up until the time you drop them off. So, you know, basically 2 days worth. Now, granted, a lot of that time will be spent traveling and, you know, hanging out with players and, of course, sleeping. So it's kind of limited, but 48 hours is the number you're looking for.
If you've got a question for Danny, 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. You can also send us your Keithley Service Company live fan feedback, just like Will in Conway has. Question for Danny. I know we're a long way away from the 2016 signing day, but how, and this is basketball related, but how is Arkansas looking where Malik Monk and Adrian Moore are concerned?
Yeah, you know, to be quite honest with you, we've been so wrapped up in football recruiting in this current class and even going into 2015 football recruiting here lately. So I haven't had a chance to talk to those guys in the last few weeks, but the last report I've got is that things are going well. Again, I go back to Malik Monk moving to Bentonville. I think that helps you maybe get him on campus a few more times for unofficial visits. Still a long way to go on those guys. Obviously, they're going to be in the top 10, top 20 in the nation when all those rankings are said and done, but as of right now, I think Arkansas is off to a pretty good start with those two.
Danny, talk about wide receiver Cody Hollister that you think will be the next Arkansas commitment.
Yeah, he told me as long as he gets here and likes it that, and, you know, everything goes well, that he'll probably go ahead and call his family and tell them that he's ready to commit to Arkansas. You know, just looking at it from the outside perspective, I think he's probably going to get here and do just that. I don't know why he wouldn't like it here. As I said, he's got offers from Wyoming and Troy, I believe, are his only other offers. So not a great offer list, but I would encourage people listening to take the time to go watch this guy's film. What really stood out to me, you know, he's 6'4", 205, but he's got so much body control. I really like his hands. He's a true possession wide receiver. You know, a lot of good things to like about him, kind of off-the-radar type guy. But, you know, if you get him, maybe he convinces his teammate, who is also coming in this weekend, Blake Whiteley, a tight end from the same school out there in Arizona Western. So maybe you get a double dose of help there. But I like Cody's film quite a bit. He can go up and get it.
And, Danny, you said that, you know, he would probably call his parents. How many – what's the ratio or percentage of players when they come up on their official visit bring both their parents or one of their parents or maybe a brother or uncle? Or do most of them come up, you know, pretty much solo?
Yeah, most of them come by themselves. I'll tell you, I've heard Brett mention it many times before. He wishes the NCAA would – pay for the parents to be able to make that trip. They don't pay for travel You can only pay for the prospect's travel. Now, my understanding is that you can pay for the parents' hotel and food once they get here, but you can't pay for them to get here. Now, you guys know as well as I do, for a kid in Miami, Florida, a lot of those kids down there are not in a great position financially to have both parents, you know, take the time off of work or even come up with money for a plane ticket to Northwest Arkansas for a weekend. So that makes it tough, but sometimes you do have parents come down for visits.
Let's head to Razorback Maniac in the Rock. Razorback Maniac, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. I wanted to see if Danny could talk about how we're looking, how the Razorbacks are looking at linebacker and defensive back, how those positions are shaping up and where we might be able to get some commitments, if any of the guys coming in this weekend or any of those positions. See if we can talk about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, linebacker and defensive back, obviously two of your biggest weaknesses this past season. They're doing their best to go out and get guys to come in and help right away. They've got two linebackers committed right now. Actually, both play safety for their current high school. They're a little bit light. Not sure they're going to be guys that come in right away and you know, take over a starting job. Kalia Hackett out of Douglasville, Georgia, and Dwayne Eugene from Louisiana. Both of those guys are in the 210, 215 range right now, but you're still on some pretty good kids. Sharif Raheed is still out there. Jimmy Swain, I think, is still an option. Then you've got a couple of kids out of Florida. Randy Ramsey, still very much an option, as well as Mike Smith from Miami, Florida. Both of those two guys will be coming in on January 24th. And then at defensive back, like I said, they've done their best so far. They are off to a pretty good start at corner. Christopher Murphy, he'll also be here this weekend. Andre Tolliver, and I guess that's it at cornerback for right now. And then at safety, you're still on quite a few guys. You've got Santos Ramirez. You're still looking at Sean Boone is out there. Peyton Hendricks, who will be here tomorrow. Kai Hester, who's coming in January. He's a four-star. So, you know, you still got spots to fill there. Still a couple of months to go to fill them. But right now they're in on some pretty good ones.
And you just said the kids that they're looking at linebacker that were the safeties. Now, what would be their weakness besides being light? Is it their 40 time? Is it their hips? Certainly it's not their aggressiveness if they're, you know, going from safety to linebacker. But what would be their strength, the weaknesses? Because I like it. I like when you have a kid that is used to playing in space a little bit, as yeah. long as he's aggressive, you know, making that move to linebacker.
Yeah, and, you know, Dwayne Eugene, he's kind of a guy like that, or Matt. He came up to camp. I thought he was probably the best safety in attendance up here. He covered a lot of wide receivers very well.
Yeah.
In the passing game and stuff like that. But Kalia Hackett, I think his only holdback right now is he's about 205, 210. You know, if you put on another 25 pounds, well, maybe he's ready to go at that point. But you've got to spend that time putting on that weight, and I'm not sure he's going to be ready as a true freshman. Dwayne Eugene, he probably will be. I think he's about 217 right now, so maybe he's a guy that can come in and help out.
And that's what red shirts are for.
That's
yeah.
what they're for. Let's go to Larry in Pine Bluff. Larry, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Danny, I know you're a busy man. You got a lot of ground to cover. I don't know how you do it, man, but I asked you about David Shepherd McGee. He's about a step behind speed with Carlos Marshall, 4.4, 170, 175. The kid is just, were you able to get any film on him?
Yes, sir. I did watch his film after we got off last week. From what I understand, he hasn't heard too much as far as recruiting. Not a lot of big schools so far, but hey, I was definitely impressed with his film. You were right on about his speed. That kid can run.
He's got quick feet, and if he turns the corner, it's hello goodbye, like Greg Pruitt used to play up there, you know, at Oklahoma. But another kid he played last year for McGee, big fullback, same size as Carroll Small, same speed, about he squats over 600 pounds and benches over 400. And I talked to him during the football season this year, and his mother got sick, and he couldn't enroll at UAM. He was going to go there. And I asked him, I said, where are they going to play? And he said, probably D-tackle, defensive tackle, but, you know, his size. But be an ideal fullback, and I know we're losing Carroll, and I don't think we're going to put Cody Walker at fullback next year or not, or keep him at tailback, but you ought to check the kid out, man, because he's a good kid. He's got a good family, and I don't know. He was on a lot of people's radar last year. I thought he was going to go to Wichita, but like I said, he's about the same size as Carroll, and I know they were losing Carroll, but if you could check him out, his name is Stephen King.
Yes, sir, will do. Got the name written down. Let me say this.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate you guys.
Over the last few weeks, Arkansas has gone out and not only recruited guys to bring in on scholarship, but they're looking at in-state guys that might have a chance to come in as a preferred walk-on. They've offered a few of those positions. Josiah Weimer from up here at Springdale High. Will Jones from Parker's Chapel. Another kid from Whitehall, I believe, a linebacker, has been offered a preferred walk-on spot. So, you know, those kids have a chance. Bielema wants to really improve that walk-on program up here. He feels like it can have a lot more room for improvement and have better kids in that program. So we'll see what they come up with. But just because a kid doesn't have, 10 Division I offers right now doesn't mean he can't play. So they're taking a look at a lot of guys within the state right now.
And Danny, explain to the listeners when you say preferred walk-on, what that means, because you see a walk-on in basketball, Keiko Hydar playing, and there was a walk-on Tom Crowder when I was there, and I think his senior year he actually got a scholarship, but he played valuable time.
Right, yeah. Basically, if you get 105 roster spots, well, 20 of those guys would have to be walk-ons, so you get your selection of them. Not sure how many you can bring in as preferred walk-ons or if there's even a limit for it, to be honest with you. But you can go out and tell a kid, please come to our school, pay your own way. We want you to come out and play football for us. Now, when school starts, you have a lot more kids, just regular students who can go out there and try to walk on, on their own. But that preferred walk-on basically is saying, we want you, we just don't have scholarship room for you right
but
now.
You're on the team.
Right, you're right. On the team. A lot of those guys even get to travel, and have a roster spot on the two deep. So it's not it's not the same as being a scholarship player, but it's very similar in a lot of ways.
Let's head to Jonesboro and speak with William. William, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, actually from Newport, Arkansas.
All right.
I just have a question. Over the years, watching Matt there, I used to watch him play, and Arkansas really had a quarterback that could scramble. I used to love watching him run up the field, and the players can catch him. But I have a question. I don't want to take this to offense, but have they looked at the teams that's playing for the national championships and that's on the rise, and why don't they have a black backup quarterback for this reason why I'm asking? Arkansas don't need all the star players. They have a good running core. They have a good offensive line. They always keep one. If they just had a guy that can get the extra yards in between that kept them in games, why haven't they, like Auburn, and you look at Florida State, that when the offense gets kind of like in trouble, they can bail them out. And I'm just wanting to know, are they even taking a thought or even looking at that or having a versatile quarterback that can also run the ball? That would help Arkansas. I mean, this year people might have thought that they weren't any good, but I've seen some flashes where, man, if they just had that extra, quarterback like Auburn that can run it when they're in trouble, hey, Arkansas would have won more games than what they have now.
All right, thank you, William.
I don't ever look at it as black quarterback or white quarterback. Johnny Manziel's a white quarterback. I get your point saying mobile quarterback, but I don't like to have that race card in there. I mean, Mariota is not black. Bryce Petty, Jordan Lynch, it doesn't matter what color you are. But, yeah, to have a mobile quarterback, they got Duwalt Mitchell. Danny, is he not a mobile guy?
Yes, he is, and he was one of the ones I'm going to mention. And, a decommitment from Georgia Tech, obviously they wanted him to run the option game down there, so he's got some wheels. Rafe Peavy, if you go watch his film, I think it's pretty clear to see that he can also run. You're talking about a black kid and a white kid there, so I'm not sure color has a lot to do with it. I think it's more about athleticism and being able to run around. That's something they've done at Wisconsin. Russell Wilson, you saw what he did up there. I think they would prefer to have a mobile guy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think the only color that matters is cardinal red when it comes to playing football up here.
I agree with you.
Let's head to Heber Springs and speak with Brett. Brett, welcome.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Look, one simple question. I can't remember his name, but I've seen him play twice this year. Now, I don't know if he's high Division One. I'm just asking. The kid from West Memphis, he had a motor on him. It seemed like at times he would, like, almost dang near dominate the game. I want to say his name was Cooper or something like that.
Fullback? He's a fullback.
Is that the one y'all, I mean, have y'all talked about him, or is he even going to play Division One ball?
Yeah, Jarvis Cooper's who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He's been talked about a lot on this program. I know Jarvis was kind of listed as a tweener, if you know what I mean. He's only about 6'1", but he's 250 and doesn't really fit what you're looking for at defensive end. I don't think he's fast enough for linebacker in the SEC, but I've still got him at number 3 in the state as far as overall football players. Matt and I have talked about this before. You know, he's got so many great qualities about himself that he's just a football player. It doesn't matter what position you put him at, he just produces. And while he may not get the SEC-type offers, I'm not going to, you know, allow that to drop him down my list as far as overall football player.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Brett.
Danny, who has he been offered by, or can you hang on for a few minutes on this next segment?
Yeah.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037 if you've got a question or comment for Danny. Danny, this came in on Twitter. Ask Danny if there's any chance of picking up the Texas Tech quarterback.
Yeah, I noticed earlier on Twitter that apparently he's going to transfer. Haven't heard any kind of rumblings. Of course, it's very early, I'm sure, for that young man trying to find his new school. But I think the good news is you don't have to play against him next year, you know, when Arkansas goes out there in what, the third, fourth game of the season. So I think that's the only benefit that I can think of so far. I wouldn't think he would look at Arkansas as an option right now. So many young quarterbacks on campus. But who knows? You know, I've been wrong before. Maybe he sees a wide-open race and wants to join it. So I will check into it, but not expecting him to be an option.
And talk a little bit more. I wanted to get you to how common is it on that kid from Memphis, you know, who is a football player, that even though he doesn't have an SEC offer, but, you know, how common is it that some of these guys pick one up if it's a week before signing day, or you know, even a day before, when all the numbers actually start coming in?
Yeah, I think prime example also from East Arkansas, Corliss Marshall was committed to UCA. I'm sure it broke their hearts down there in Conway, but Arkansas came in, took a long look at him, saw what he could do on film, and decided to go ahead and offer. And I tell you what, I think that was a pretty good move. I was really pushing for that one myself.
He was only offered by Conway.
Yeah, well, he had a couple others.
Yeah, but as far as big time, though, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty unreal. I will say, Corliss, he really took off his senior year, especially in the classroom. He made up for a lot of his what he didn't do in his sophomore and junior year. So he came on strong as a student. That's what really paid off for Corliss, and you know, cleaned up his act, got all of his stuff together, and hey, I tell you what, it's paying off for him right now. He's got a real future up here.
Pat in North Little Rock, how many more QBs does Arkansas need? Assuming Austin and Brandon are going to be there 3 more years, plus the other 3 they have either recruited or already there. Thought Dude Lima wanted this power rushing game to compete with Bama. Get some linemen and some defensive players that actually know how to tackle. Think they got enough quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you don't have much if you don't have a quarterback. And, you know, they're only bringing in 1 this year. They did bring in 2 last year. Got rid of one, though, with Brandon Mitchell transferring. I guess I shouldn't say it like that. I don't think they intentionally ran Brandon off, but you get my point. And then you've only got one for next year's class in Ty Story. But I think from now on you'll probably see them, unless something changes with a lot of transfers, I think you'll see each class have one quarterback. And I think that's pretty standard around college football. But you can't run off Rafe Peavy just to go find another linebacker. Rafe's pretty good one, as well as Ty Story. So I think they're in pretty good position there.
Yeah, you gotta sign one quarterback each class. And Brandon Mitchell would have been – this was his last year anyway, so it wasn't like they ran him off, but he wouldn't be returning. He didn't have any eligibility left after this year anyway.
No. Let's go to line one. Yes, sir. Sorry. Good try. Not going to deal with that. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Trey.
Yeah. Let's go to James in Ward. James, welcome.
Hey, I was wanting to know what exactly goes on during the official visit. Did they give them a football knowledge test? What would you do kind of situation? They just hang out with the players and eat hot dogs and
I think the food's a little bit better than hot dogs.
But it's a show. You know, it's entertainment. I don't think it's a classroom activity where they're giving them like the combine. And, Danny, you can elaborate more, but it's more entertainment and social. It's more of a social event instead of a scouting-type deal like the combine.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. Like I said earlier, you get 48 hours and you're trying to squeeze in so much information for these kids within that time. But at the same time, you don't want to overload them with just, hey, come here and you can play in this scheme and doing this and that. You got to allow them time to go out, hang out with players, play video games. If they want to go out at night, I'm sure some of them do, then, you know, they're college kids. They're fixing to be college kids, so I'm sure they'll enjoy that aspect of it as well. But they're fed well, they learn a lot about the academic side of the university, and then they also have a lot of one-on-one time with the coaching staff. And at the end of the weekend, you get to sit down with Brett Bielema, kind of go over what you're thinking, how you feel about the program, and then that's when you see a lot of kids go ahead and pull the trigger on a commitment.
Okay, so it's just more of a social type setting, just
a lot of bonding, social. You know, to get just relationships and that is as far as that's what I remember with mine. I mean, you might watch a little film and stuff, but it's not anything like the combine.
James, the last game this year, South Carolina and Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the game, there were some benches set up at the 50-yard line. There was a table behind the benches. And they had some recruits that were there on campus on official visits come out and sit down. They had popcorn for them. They had Gatorade for them, water, Cokes, whatever they wanted to drink. And they watched a highlight video on the big screen inside Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium.
Okay.
That was one aspect of the recruiting trip. And then they had vehicles it was very cold that day. They had vehicles. They then got in and they went somewhere else, and they even brought a second group of players in a separate second wave. And Dan Skipper was one of the player hosts that weekend, because he came out after the game out of the locker room and he was standing there with one of the players watching the highlight video.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's head to Jerry in Clinton. Jerry, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Hey, I got two things, but first I want to address this Major League Baseball thing where they're going to.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit later, Jerry. We've got Danny on here right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then maybe I'll call back later.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Yeah. As long as we've got Danny West on here, we need to try and.
You don't
at least
want to talk about the catchers blocking the plate?
We're going to a little bit later in the show, but Danny's on here to talk recruiting. So
leadoff hitters,
I got all day, Trey.
Well, I know, line drives to the pitcher. I mean, let's
think they're going to set a screen up for the pitchers like it went during BP,
right?
Yeah,
and then the ball will bounce right back off the screen to the catcher, who will throw the
and
player
he can actually
first.
Be an out if it's in the air.
Yeah, yeah. Danny, obviously a big recruiting weekend this weekend, but how did the weather last weekend affect Razorback recruiting?
You know, I think they they made the best of it. I will say this. They had an assistant coach that was trying to go pick up a kid. He got spun around and got stuck, I think, for about an hour or so. He had somebody come pull him out. And then when they got to the airport to pick up Armand Watts, it took an hour and a half. And like I said, you only get 48 hours, and they spent an hour and a half getting from XNA in Bentonville all the way back to the campus. So that hurt them a little bit. But as far as recruit reaction, I don't think it really hurt them. You know, you had a couple of kids from St. Louis up here. Obviously, they've dealt with snow and cold temperatures before. So I don't think it was a very big deal at all. You know, Wisconsin, Brett Bielema dealt with things like this before. He told the story here a while back about having a kid from Miami come to visit Wisconsin during his days there, and when the kid got off the plane, it was minus 48 degrees. And so, I mean, he's dealt with cold weather before, so I don't think it was such a huge deal for him.
Minus 48 degrees. I'm getting right back on that plane going back to South Beach. I don't know
about
anybody.
You know what?
I don't know about anybody else.
That kid ended up in Miami, by the way, which I know.
I don't blame him. Ed and Cabot. Ed, welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. Yes, talking about recruiting, I just had a couple of questions. One is that do we have any recruits that are going to fit in to the coach's plan of how he wants to run the offense and defense like he did this last year? I know we were lacking in some areas. I've heard talking on your show a couple of weeks ago about how there are some players that aren't that good that we have on scholarship that might not get offered scholarship for next year. And the second question I had is also, I heard something about a real good quarterback that was getting recruited by Arkansas that might be able to make an impact. So all in all, both questions are, do we have anybody that's going to come help us to where we can at least win 7 or 8 games next year? And I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Ed.
Yes, that's a pretty broad question, but I think it's a good question. Rafe Peavy, you know, anytime you're dealing with a true freshman quarterback, it's probably bad news, you know, as an SEC member. But, you know, if you want to start over and go with Rafe next year, maybe he's a guy that can do it. He's going to come in this spring and compete for that job. Obviously, you're going to take some bumps and bruises if he does win out and take that starting job away from Brandon Allen, but he's a guy that could do it. You know, that wide receiver, I think they need all kinds of help. Maybe this junior college guy, if he'll go ahead and commit this week, maybe he's a guy that can do it, or one of those three freshmen that they're also have already committed. Look at tight end. I don't see a ton of immediate help there. Maybe an offensive lineman or two can come in and help fill out the two deep. And then on defensive line, Bijan Jackson will play as a true freshman. Not only because you're losing 4 seniors at that spot, but just because he's that good. I think Bijan's got a great chance to play. And then a lot of question marks in the back end. We'll find out who does what come August, but they're definitely going to have to rely on some freshmen again next year.
Danny, as always, thanks for sticking around. And by the way, anybody that wants to see Bijan Jackson play his last high school football game, Saturday, 6:30, War Memorial Stadium, El Dorado versus Pine Bluff. Danny, thanks.
Thank you, buddy.